This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you want to be taking on Anthony Edwards and the Minnesota Timberwolves in a one-game situation? I don't care if it's at Chase Center. No, I do not. I do not want to see Draymond Green going at Rudy Gobert again. All right, I don't need that in my life, okay? I don't want any of that. I want a playoff situation. That was the goal heading into this season, is just to have a playoff setting at Chase Center. And right now they're flirting with not even having that. And you can't be doing that, man.
Draymond Green, in the first 5 minutes, when he got hit in the head, I know he got hit hard. He laid on the ground. I was like, come on, Dre, just get up. Like, just get up. We don't need a shenanigans game. He tackled Bam Adebayo near the 3-point line. It was incredible. He just tackled him and then no foul call. He got bodied yesterday by Bam. Everything he tried to do against Bam, it was a bad matchup.
Again, well, let's call it what it is. He's gotten humbled in these last few games against some of the bigs out there. The Aaron Gordons of the world. Again, no Jokic, no Murray. Aaron Gordon destroys you.
What have I said for 3 weeks?
Karl-Anthony Towns, a guy. Again, more bad blood in that game. Karl-Anthony Towns showed up.
Everybody's looking into the offseason like, get this superstar, get that superstar. What have I told you for 3-4 weeks now is the number one need for this team in the offseason? Number one need. It's not even shooting.
Size.
They need a literal 20-minute-a-night guy who's bouncy over legitimately 7 feet. If I put Ware on this team right now.
Oh.
He would solve a lot of issues. Problem is, I don't even know if the coach would play.
Well, that's exactly.
I don't even know if the coach would play.
I was just going to tell you.
Because he's stubborn on who he likes.
As you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ, FM, and HD1, San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. And we are broadcasting live from the Laughing Monk Studios. And as you know, Joe Shasky, it is a Warriors Wednesday brought to you by Freedman's Appliance. Come see their full selection of in-stock luxury appliances and live working vignettes. Visit Freedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill today. Check out Freedman's Appliance this weekend, by the way, for their red tag clearance sale with Mark Grandy and Sam Lubman broadcasting there. And Matt Steinmetz is also going to be making an appearance. Are the Golden State Warriors going to be making an appearance on this road trip at any point? Because I'm still waiting for them to show up. I think they're still on the tarmac, wherever they flew. Sure. The Miami flu, I get we joke about it. But like when Bonte was telling us last week on Friday when he was in, because he's in every Friday at 9 o'clock. When he was saying they're going to be in Miami for 5 days, I was nervous. I was like, oh boy, that's not good. Again, you should be professional in all this, but there's in the back of my mind, these guys like to slack off on these big road trips. And if you're going to be in Miami, a place where it is known, you can have a good time. And we saw the video yesterday circulating where it was Jimmy, where it was Draymond. They were playing dominoes and they were having coffee. Not saying they can't. They're adults. They can go out. They can have a good time. But when you have performances like you do yesterday, I start questioning stuff like that.
Well,
like,
it's really? Not cute.
It's not. It doesn't come off cute.
It's cute when you win.
Yes.
It's like, oh, God, what are we doing?
Right?
What are we, to the fans, whether it's real or not, like, again, I get you have a life, but to the fans, they're like, was this just a vacation? Or are we out here to like, because you're not going to make the playoffs if you guys continue on the road you're on. You're going to be in the one game playing. And we've seen how that's gone. You know, like, I'm not saying this is factually how it goes down, but there's nothing worse in sports than when the fans feel like they care more than you. Mm. I'm not saying that that's what happened here, but I'm saying it's a bad look when the fans feel like they have more invested stock into these games than you, the player. I don't think it's accurate all the time, but like that's how people turn on you.
I was very disappointed. My main takeaway from yesterday's game, and 888-957-9570, 0-2 at the start of this road trip, has your expectations for this team potentially making a deep run or making a playoff run shifted at all in light of some of these losses? Again,
it's teetering.
Like these are some bad losses. Three of the last five games, you've lost to a Nuggets team without their two best players. You almost lost to a Toronto Raptors team who stinks. They're one of the worst teams in the East. We're not even talking about that because you won the game, but you almost lost to them. You lose to an Atlanta Hawks team that is not exactly world beaters. They don't play a lick of defense, and you still couldn't score against them. And then this Miami Heat squad, who had just lost 10 in a row. These are a lot of bad losses, and I get it. There hasn't been a lot of losses when Jimmy Butler suits up as a Golden State Warrior. What are they, 16-4 now when he plays? But it was very concerning to me. I get it. There's no Stephen Curry, but that's not an excuse for me at this point. When you make the trade for Jimmy Butler, I thought that solved a lot of the problems, and maybe I'm just wrong because he has not shot the ball well really at all since being a Golden State Warrior. The efficiency hasn't been there. I know he's not a three-point shooter, but I need him to take more shots than 12 yesterday. When all the hype was around you, Jimmy, I thought you came up smallest yesterday in that game.
I
and by the way, the Miami Heat fans, let them know about it. Here's Steve Kerr after the game talking about the fan environment in Miami.
I didn't know what was going on pregame because there was a video with no sound. So I was wondering what was happening. You know, Miami is it's a great place to live. Some people don't ever seem too amped up around here. They're living the good life. So it really wasn't that rabid of an environment. It was typical Miami. I think the main part of Jimmy's return is that the Heat were ready and Spo had him ready. And, I mean, you shoot 17 for 25 from three, you're going to win. But I thought it was how hard they played, how well they competed. They took it to us tonight.
And Steve saying that was typical Miami fans. But you know what? The fact that Jimmy Butler barely got any reception and it was like half cheers maybe and but mostly boos at that video reception tells you all you need to know about the bridges that he has burned in these last 6 months out in Miami. A guy that dragged two teams to two NBA finals, the best player on those teams. Like, we're gonna look back at those probably as his like career achievements, being able to do that, winning two Eastern Conference finals. And for him to kind of poo-poo that in recent comments in the last week, I think that rubbed a lot of Heat fans the wrong way. And this was Bobby Marks, former assistant GM with the Brooklyn Nets, Joe Shasky. Bobby Marks on yesterday in ESPN talking about those same Heat fans that Steve Kerr was alluding to. I thought this was very interesting.
I was embarrassed last night. I was embarrassed watching that and looking at what the Heat fans did to give a man who quit on you. He quit on them at the end of the year, at the middle of the year. He quit on them because he didn't get paid by the Miami Heat. And I know he took you to two NBA finals and everything he did great for you. But to give that man a standing ovation, even if it was 50% of that, that bothered me dearly.
Really?
As far as that. It really did. And I would have done the video tribute. I still would have done it of the Heat organization. And Steve Kerr said it after. Basically, it was like almost like fair-weathered fans who were like, oh, it's okay. You know?
Again, like, I think that got to Jimmy Butler yesterday. I really do. I think we all thought, like, playoff Jimmy, the mindset, you know, he's an alpha mentality. And that's okay if it did, because he's human. Like stuff like that. We were talking yesterday, Joe Shasky, like, do you want the boos? Like, do you want to be a Dylan Brooks guy? Do you feed off the boos more than the cheers of your home arena? Like, sometimes you thrive on that, sometimes you don't. There was clearly, I think, a lot of emotion baked into that game yesterday. And I saw it from just the comments that Taylor Rooks was saying on TNT. When Jimmy was saying, quote, I have nothing to say to Pat Riley, and Pat better have nothing to say to me. So he clearly had a lot of hard feelings still, even though he didn't want to make that known, maybe to the public prior, but there's a lot of hard feelings there.
We've had Bobby.
Is that an excuse for the performance, though, yesterday for you?
No. This whole thing, like, you know, we weren't ready to start the game. How many times do I have to hear that this year with Kerr and the Warriors? Like, the players, the coach, whatever it is, I don't know what it is. I don't want to hear it anymore. I'm tired of hearing it. On the Bobby Marks thing, I like Bobby Marks. We've had him on the show a lot.
He's very really good. Knowledgeable. ESPN capologist.
But when I hear that, you know what that sounds like? It sounds like a guy who hasn't paid for a real ticket in a long time. And that's just my personal belief. I believe you should not tell fans how to fan.
Okay.
That's my belief. Nothing's worse than the third down guy sitting next to you. Come on! Get up! It's third down! You! Right there!
Oh,
get
God.
Up! It's third down! You gotta cheer right now! Like, hey, everybody buys a ticket. You can boo if you want. You can cheer if you want. You can stand. Now, if you got like 2 80-year-olds behind you, you probably shouldn't stand.
No, you gotta know your place a little bit.
Be respectful of those around you. But I'm just a big believer in, I'm not gonna tell people how to be a fan.
No.
So if someone feels that they wanna give a standing ovation to a particular player, so be it. Like, dude, I watched us give the most insane opening day fandom to Brandon Belt coming out on a yacht. It was the most obscene. It was obscene, quite frankly. I was embarrassed for certain Giants fans. And you know what? Those fans paid their ticket. They like Brandon Belt. They can do what they want. I rooted for T.O. I know a lot of people didn't root for T.O. after he basically torched the building down. I don't expect you to feel the same way about all these players as I do. So that's okay.
That's okay. But again, if I'm a Warriors fan this morning, because, that's the Heat fan angle and all that, and they ended up getting, you know, the last laugh yesterday just in the regular season. I still don't think they're going to be doing much. I don't think there's ever going to be a scenario where they win that trade with Jimmy Butler. But you know what? They felt good yesterday.
For
and they felt like
they did.
And for one night, they did. Absolutely. Andrew Wiggins, it was all smiles after that game.
And if the Warriors end up in the play-in, that game means so much more.
Yeah.
And again, it's like, you can lose the game. Like, I'm okay. You can't lose back-to-back games on the road with the season where it's at, with your record where it's at, with the teams around you in the standings where they're at, with Curry out. You can't play those back-to-back games that way. And the other thing, I'm watching the Warrior fan base sit here and argue about Jonathan Kuminga. You guys are driving me nuts. I'm going to tell you this right now. The comment section, the internet, anyone who's obsessing, you're arguing about a paper cut when we've got shot through the heart with
it's
a shotgun.
Acceptable.
Why are we arguing about the paper cut? That's not going to kill us. The two best players on the team yesterday barely showed up. Draymond and Jimmy.
And that's what needs to be
Kuminga's
discussed.
Kuminga's the afterthought.
888-957-9570. In the absence of Stephen Curry, Jimmy Butler, I'm starting to question a little bit. I know he's an alpha. I know what he's meant to this team. But I'm concerned, again, come play-in or playoff time, if Steph doesn't have it. Oh, because by the way, he's going to get blitzed by a lot of these Western Conference teams. They're going to force a Jimmy Butler. They're going to force a Draymond Green. They're going to force someone else to step up. And I know Steph is going to get his, but someone else needs to also get theirs. And I'm very concerned about this team and that lack of a true secondary. We're still talking about this. And this Stephen Curry world. They don't have a consistent secondary score that I can rely on. The Lakers, they got LeBron, they got Luka, and they got Austin Reeves. They got someone that's going to step up. They have Oklahoma City. They've got, you know, the Jalen Williams. I know Chet's going to do something. Obviously, they got Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. The Nuggets, we've seen it with Aaron Gordon. He stepped up in the absence of Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic. I know what I'm getting from them. What am I going to be getting from Jimmy Butler going forward? I think it's a valid question at this point. 888-957-9570. James in New York, we'll get to you. Antoine, I see you hanging on tight in Nashville. You're a great caller. We'll get to you on the other side as well. 888-957-9570. That's what's coming up in the game. Brought to you by San Francisco International Airport.
Traveling.
But for a game that meant a lot to him, he might say it doesn't, but I think it did. It meant a lot to Eric Spoelstra, Pat Riley, Andrew Wiggins. I could see that on the court. He was playing with a lot of energy and ferocity and tenacity on both ends of the floor. 4-13, not the greatest shooting performance for Andrew Wiggins. He was 2-4 from the three-point line, but 3 blocks, 2 steals, 5 assists. He was playing pretty good. And that fed off of Bam Adebayo, who had 27 points, 7-9. He got to the line, 2-3 from beyond the arc. Tyler Hero, 4-4, had that buzzer beaten three to end the half. 20 points for him. Alec Burks, Warriors legend Alec Burks.
I knew it.
6 of 8 overall, 17 points for him. Davion Mitchell, Kings legend Davion Mitchell. 12 points and 32 minutes off the bench for him. 2 of 2 from beyond the arc. 17 of 25 overall. They shot 68%, Joe Shasky, from three-point land. Just compared 9 of 38 for a 23.7% shooting percentage for the Golden State Warriors. No one showed up yesterday outside of maybe a Guy Santos. But, and I love you, Guy, but when we're relying on the Guy Santoses of the world, you're going to have a bad time. And I appreciated what he was doing hustle-wise because it felt like the energy was lacking from the start, and they couldn't match the intensity of the Miami Heat yesterday.
You know, it's interesting to me, like,
did it feel like the team was galvanized around Jimmy Butler yesterday?
No.
Like, the team for Miami was just all galvanized to go up against Jimmy?
They felt very ready to go.
Yes.
And they had a great game plan, and all their players were clicking. And even there were stretches where they didn't miss shots, but they answered with big runs. And I thought their contesting was excellent. But, Joe, there's something interesting that happens when we talk sports. I think we fall in love with these narratives, and people say, like, I don't want ESPN's Kendrick Perkins narratives. I want analysis. And then when you give them analysis, it's like, well, what is it? It's like literally analysis.
Correct.
Great example. Joe, you crushed Draymond Green. Well, yeah, because I think that he needs to shoot more. And then when he's shooting more, what did I do for him?
You praised him. You were praising him for the last couple of weeks.
All right.
You literally thought that maybe he could be that third scorer consistently, but when he has games like yesterday, you start questioning everything.
Well, no, then I start to buy into the narrative because my analysis now matches some of the narrative of, does he want to play when Steph's not on the floor?
Mm. Well.
Right? Now, Steve Kerr, people like, it's a lightning rod. Joe, you said he's one of the greatest coaches. He is. Is Bill Belichick one of the greatest coaches ever?
He is.
Okay. Did he get out-coached by Doug Peterson when the Eagles dropped 41 on him and Nick Foles threw for almost 400 yards?
Yes, he also got out-coached twice by Tom Coughlin. Let's call it what it is.
It happens. Does that make Bill Belichick lesser of a coach?
No.
No.
Does Eli Manning beat Tom Brady twice in the Super Bowl? Does that make Tom Brady lesser as a quarterback?
Well, if I'm analyzing that game and I isolate it, Belichick got out-coached. They ran anything they wanted. In fact, ran the Philly special on the goal line. Steve Kerr is a brilliant coach. I still think he's amazing. Spoelstra's specific game plan against what the Warriors trotted out there yesterday without Steph Curry was brilliant. They said, Draymond Green, which we've talked about, I don't think you can shoot from the outside. We're going to guard you with a big, and we're going to have that big in the paint. Jimmy Butler, we're going to guard you with the big so you can't get to the block and just body someone and get to the free throw line. We don't think you can shoot from the outside. GP2, who started the game. We don't think you can shoot from the outside at all. And if we take away pack the paint with these bigs that are off ball, off of Jimmy, off of Draymond, you're never going to get anything around the rim. And then they dared us to hit shots from the outside. That was brilliant. They treated us as three non-shooters at times, packed the paint, and what did the Warriors do? Shot clock violations, turnovers, bad shots, couldn't hit anything. Yeah. All right? So I thought it was a brilliant masterclass given the pieces that were out there for the Warriors that Miami said, oh, you're playing right into our hands. And I credit Eric Spoelstra for yesterday, having the leg up on Steve Kerr. Now, that doesn't take away blame from Jimmy Butler just not being aggressive. That doesn't take away blame from Draymond Green looking like he didn't want to play yesterday and getting absolutely smoked by Bam Adebayo. That doesn't take away from Moses Moody going up against Andrew Wiggins and Wiggins just taking it to him. Like, Moses was not a good matchup for him. And when you're the coach,
for 9
when you're the coach and you see that guy's struggling to stay in front of him, struggling to get a shot off against him, you got to make a move. And when I see Buddy Hield come in, and he wasn't great, but he was better than Moody yesterday, I thought you should have started the second half with Buddy Hield. I thought he outplayed him. And Guy Santos was playing well. I think I should have rode that a little longer.
We are coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco. It's the morning roast. Spadoni and Shasky were fired up after a Miami Heat 112 victory over the Golden State Warriors. Just a disaster. We use that term, disaster class, on Saturday against the Atlanta Hawks. That was a disaster class of epic proportions yesterday in South Beach, Miami. They're staying there for 5 days. Maybe they should have stayed somewhere else. I don't know. Jacksonville over Miami. I don't know what's quieter. Orlando. Go to Disney World. I don't know. Miami is not a place that you should be hanging out in if those are the performances you're going to be having, that lackadaisical effort in that first quarter. And again, I keep going back to Jimmy Butler. You can be mad at the Brandon Pajenskis of the world all you want. He did not have a great game. But
Jimmy's making $60 million
Jimmy
a year.
Butler is your best player.
Exactly.
This is the game that was supposed to be personal 100%. For him. There's a reason all the DraftKings of the world, all the FanDuel, everyone's taking the over. I'm taking the over on Jimmy Butler. I'm taking the over on Jimmy Butler. Okay, great. He had one more point than Andrew Wiggins did yesterday. And Andrew Wiggins had 10 points. That's not good enough, man. Not good enough when I need you to step up with Stephen Curry, come playoff time, come play in time. That's a performance that leaves me questioning whether you can step up if Steph is having an off night or if he's not even there. Let's go to the calls, Joe Chaffee. There's
so
a lot of them. Very disappointing.
Where you're at in the standings, where the other teams are around you in the standings, the difference between being in the play-in and getting a week off with no staff, like there's like seven layers that I would call narratives
seven
on why you needed to be ready to play. And then the analysis is you showed up and you look like you didn't want to play. The top dogs.
Yeah. I can go for some seven-layer dip right now. Guacamole, sour cream, some salsa. Antoine's in Nashville,
What's
though.
What's up, Antoine?
He's been hanging on. He's been very patient. Appreciate that, Antoine. What you got on that Warriors loss last night?
Hey, guys. How are y'all this morning?
I'm pretty frustrated. I thought that they almost no-showed yesterday.
True. Well, let's be honest, guys. I mean, this is exactly what happens. You know, I talked to you guys last week during the Do You Believe segment. And I said I was skeptical, and I stand by that. This is exactly the reason why. When you think about it, when Steph Curry went out, this was an opportunity to see what you have. Just like in a lot of the top-ranked teams, some of their star players are out. LeBron is out. Jokic and Murray were out. But teams that are able to win make deep runs in the playoffs, able to win championships, are able to have alternative points and offensive players they can turn to when their lead scorer is out. This is the exact thing, the reason why, to me personally, I believe this year the Warriors are at best going to be a second-round exit because of this very reason. Outside of Jimmy Butler, who's 35 years old, Steph Curry is 37. He's 37. There's only so much he can run around past defenders as the only really good three-point shooter that we have. Draymond Green is 35. Outside of that, you have a bunch of young guys who do not have that much playoff experience. We haven't even got there, and we're struggling with mid-tier teams like the Heat. So when we get into a seven-game series against teams like the Nuggets, against OKC, against the Lakers, their players have shown when our league guys don't have it, we have alternatives we could turn to step up in these big games. If we're struggling against mid-tier teams like the Heat, the Atlanta Hawks, or even the Raptors, or the Nuggets when they didn't have any of their guys, what are we going to do when it's going to push come to shove against these bigger teams or when they are fully powered, I mean to say? So to me, I think they're going to be a second-round exit. And, guys, I know you talked about a player that we needed that was bouncy. Don't get me started on what we could talk about as we had Miles Turner. It seems like the coaching staff just doesn't listen to anything the fans say when it comes to that, because if we had a guy like Post who was somewhat defensive like Miles Turner, oh, my God, what would that have been? Now Steve Kerr talks about, a stretch five, and he really opened up the offense. We've been begging for a stretch five for the last 2 years. So don't get me started on that, but that's all I got, guys. Y'all have a good one.
Well, and like yesterday,
Miles Turner, by the way, unrestricted free agent this summer, so there you go.
I mean, yesterday's a great game. Like, you're searching for offense. Would you agree?
Yes.
Like, and Kerr's going all defense, like, to multiple points in the game where it's pretty established, like, hey, look, we have nothing going offensively. And I understand Quinton Post is going to be a liability. I can't come out of a game where I'm down double digits the entire time searching for offense. And one of my best three-point shooters is getting 13 minutes. How does that jive? I don't get it.
It wasn't shooting. I mean, he did have four attempts. He was one of four, so the stroke wasn't quite there. But, yeah, you'd like him to see him, you know, at least shoot some more. I saw Guy Santos have 8 field goal attempts. I saw Buddy Hield have 8.
He was good.
He was good. Kuminga, 10. Again, Brandon Pajemski being my lead field goal taker yesterday at 16. I can't have that in a game like yesterday. I can't. Jimmy, he hasn't been efficient enough. And Jimmy has been passive
a lot. He's too passive.
You know, it's nice when he's talking about the unselfish nature of the team, like when they're winning.
Yeah.
But I needed him to be selfish yesterday.
Yeah,
I needed it actually. It was the Jimmy Butler game, but in all the wrong reasons. Because we were talking about Jimmy Butler being the reason that, you know, this team could have, like, you know, galvanize around Jimmy. Jimmy's going to have a huge monster performance. But we're talking about Jimmy being too passive.
But if you're going to have passive. A 20-year-old guarding you, a 7-foot 20-year-old early in the game, you got to exploit that. Yeah. It's a 20-year-old. You're a 35-year-old that understands how to get to the free
crafty.
Line. That kid,
yeah.
That kid should have been put into some sort of action, and this goes back to coach, player, scheme, all these things. It's not just the coach, but all get that guy into some action and get Jimmy going downhill and get that kid jumping up in the air so you could bait some fouls. Get him off the floor. There's many ways that they can run the run. They needed to run some sets yesterday. So some specific sets to get guys the ball at certain spots. And I thought that they should have made the switch. And I look, Moody was getting outplayed yesterday, and I would have went to Buddy Hield earlier. Buddy was trying really hard. The numbers aren't going to show it. The eyeball will tell you Buddy was outplaying Moody yesterday. And Moody's been good for a long time. I thought he'd turn the corner the last couple of games. I'm still optimistic on him.
Tough stretch.
I'm not done with him. But, like, if you're going to be playing these games like they're playing games, right? These are fight-for-your-life type of games.
Gotta have a game.
You need to have a quicker hook and a better feel.
Steve Kerr, Joe Shasky, asked what Miami did defensively after the game.
Well, you know, they've got Bam down there, who's an all-world defender, and I thought he controlled much of the game. But again, I thought early in the game we had five or six wide-open threes, and so we were actually getting decent shots. I thought the first part of the second quarter was a key part of the game. You know, we love that lineup that we put out there with Quentin, Draymond, Jimmy. We're down six at the end of the quarter. When they made I think they made a couple shots late to extend it to six, but I thought we could make a push right there with Draymond and Jimmy on the floor together with Quentin. And I think the opposite happened. I think they pushed it to 12 immediately, and we weren't able to, kind of capture the momentum of the game.
Not only was it in that second quarter where it went post GP2, Dre, Butler, Moody, they ran it back in the beginning of the fourth quarter,
end
of the third quarter, and the same thing happened. The team cut it to single digits,
yep.
Fought their butt off, and that was with the Kuminga Santos Gee lineup. They subbed back in Draymond and Butler, and immediately it ballooned back up to 17. It happened in the second quarter, it happened in the fourth quarter.
It's a slippery slope, though, because I get it from a head coaching perspective that you want to stick with those guys, but like you do need your two best players, given that they haven't. I get it. They weren't playing well for most of the game, and you got to have a feel for that. But it's Jimmy Butler and Draymond Green.
But it's
right?
Not just them. Those are two non-shooters. It's the fact you also played them alongside GB2, a third
that
non-shooter.
I understand. Yes.
It's not just. And I think I'm not ripping GB2. It's the combinations you play. You have to have a prolific scorer alongside GB2 to play him with Draymond Green and Jimmy Butler. The Heat treated those three as non-threats.
Preston, San Jose. Has some thoughts on one Jimmy Butler. 888-957-9570 is the number. I want to hear from the fans today. It's all about y'all's and your calls. Anthony Slater joining us at 8:30, courtesy of the River Islands guest line. Anthony Slater, obviously, in Miami, covering the team for The Athletic. Just so many different layers to this game. And it really, the overarching theme, I'm going to get to you in a second here, Preston, I promise. Just where you are at in the standings. I cannot hammer this enough.
Free to have a performance...
Like you did yesterday, 41-31 on the season. You're the sixth spot in the West. The Clippers are a half game back. They're 40-31 for the seventh spot. You got the Timberwolves right on your heels. They're at the eighth spot at the 41-32 marker. The Lakers, they're the fifth seed right now. You got the Grizzlies at the fourth seed at 44-28. You're going to be facing both of those teams that come next week, Joe Shasky. Those are going to be two bona fide playoff teams. So, yeah, you losing to a Miami Heat squad and a Atlanta Hawks squad that aren't very good, and losing to a Denver Nuggets team that was decimated. That same Denver Nuggets team that didn't have those players just lost to the Chicago Bulls of all teams. So you can't even show up to where a Chicago Bulls team did that. And then, quite frankly, maybe you should have lost to the Toronto Raptors. That was a game, and they stink, and they're in the Eastern Conference, and they're going to be a lottery team. This has not been a good basketball team the last week or so. Let's just call it what it is. This has not been a good team at all. And the urgency factor without Stephen Curry, you thought it would be more. Really, it just felt like, we don't have Steph. We're probably going to lose. Like, that's the energy? That's disappointing. Well, Preston, real quick, Preston in San Jose has been waiting. What's up, Preston? What you got in that game yesterday and Jimmy Butler?
Yeah. There's something I think you guys are forgetting to say. Nice to talk to you guys as well. Thank you for having me. But there's something I think you guys are forgetting, though. Draymond took an early knock to the head in that first quarter, and I think that blew up the game plan. Against Eric Spoelstra, you can't have that happen. He's the second longest, or he's longer. I think he's longer he's tenured longer than Steve, so he's a winning coach, and he's been at this for a while.
Well, what did the hit?
I don't. He has a good roster.
What's the correlation between Draymond getting hit in the face and Spoelstra? I'm missing.
Was
this.
That like a tone setter? You're saying, Preston?
Yes. I'm saying early in the first, right there, it's a very highly defensive game. That's what I saw there. It was very highly defensive. Right, we had a very low scoring. The game plans were set in stone. They were being executed. You know. And then I think Draymond is a huge part of that, right? Jimmy's not the leader. Draymond is. You got to understand, like, Draymond.
Can I stop you?
Jimmy's
Steph's the leader. I'll let you finish. Steph's the leader.
Draymond is not the leader.
When they lose the way that they do without Steph on the floor and he looks disinterested, it comes off as front runner. That's what it comes off of for Draymond. And I'm not going that strong, but that's what it feels like to a lot of people.
Yeah, that's if you take it to the extreme. I agree with you. That's if you take it to the extreme, right? But I think in that situation, right, we have Draymond, who's really kind of coaching Jimmy on what Warriors, the organization is, what Warriors offense is, what Warriors defense is, what Warriors, culture is, because your culture is your best player there. So, so I think without Curry there, you have Jimmy realizing, I think you have a situation where they had a game plan, they got an early knock, they let them get up early again like they let the Hawks do, and then you have these teams where they're playing really, really hard against the Warriors like the Hawks did, and then they're just they're pulling starters out the game at the end, right? And then they're just like kind of using the Warriors as a training team, really hard against the Warriors because they hold.
It's a good call. I appreciate your contribution. You lost me a little. I would just say this on the Warriors: like the hit to the head on Draymond, it was inadvertent. Number one, and number two, of all people in the history of the NBA. Who cannot complain about a hard foul that might be accidental?
Yeah, like that. I'm not buying
changing
any of that.
His prerogative on the game.
I agree.
It can't be the guy who's made a living off of laughing at others on a podcast after doing the shenanigans that he's done on the floor. Come on, we got to be fair here. We got to be a little fair on Draymond.
The leadership
this
aspect.
Stomp and Sabonis.
The chokeholds. There's so many. The clotheslines.
Like
the pimp slaps. All of it. We're not even getting into all those. It's all on YouTube. There's literally like a 2 or 5 minute cut of it. Like,
it's
just
like a
compilation.
Magic Johnson montage. Instead of passes, it's of Draymond shenanigans,
it's literally,
which is fine.
But having said all of that, he's talking about the leadership aspect. No, Jimmy Butler was supposed to be the leader yesterday. Jimmy Butler knows that Miami Heat team. It was all about Jimmy yesterday. I'm not letting Jimmy off the hook. Draymond was bad, but like, Jimmy Butler is the leader, as far as I'm concerned.
Yes.
When Steph is not out there.
100%.
I think that the way and style that he plays 100%. On the court, he is the field general, not Draymond Green. Yeah, Draymond might have the longevity. He might have, the championships and the titles, but don't get it twisted. As far as like player hierarchy and who is better, it goes Steph, Jimmy, Draymond. And Jimmy yesterday was supposed to set the tone, and he did set a tone in a negative fashion for me.
Let's take it a step further, Joe. This thing that like, Jimmy's got to learn how to play Warrior basketball. Warrior basketball is Steph Curry. If that's what you're going to say to me, if you're going to say no, Warrior basketball.
Steve Kerr said it with Willard and Dibbs. He said, he's talking about Heat culture. What's Warriors culture? He said it's Steph Curry.
Okay, but
Stephen Curry is the Warriors culture.
Okay,
yes.
But what is their offensive philosophy? It's Steph, ball movement, read and react, motion
give
offense.
Give the ball to Steph and get the hell out of the way. That's what Jimmy Butler said. Yes.
Set screens. But when Steph's not there, you need to also acquiesce to the other skill sets of the players who are on the floor. And that's where I get really frustrated with some of the fan base and the coaching. It's like, guys, name me a pick and roll at any point in that game to get Jimmy going downhill.
See, I thought the game plan was going to be, and it's a great point, I thought the game plan when Steph's not out is the inverse of what I just said. Give the ball to Jimmy and let him facilitate, do whatever.
But you know who had the ball?
Pods had the ball all day, and
I'm telling you right now, if we're going to run the motion offense, and Pods is going to be one of the guys with the ball in his hands, you're going to lose games.
Yeah,
he's a nice backup point guard. To think that he could fulfill one of the greatest players of all time, it's so unfair to him. It's just unfair to
him.
And he's the one who ends up with the ball at the end. It's like musical chairs. The music stops. He's got the rock. He's wide open. I don't like my chances.
Again, I'm not blaming the younger guys. Yesterday,
no one
stepped up. I'm blaming the guys that needed to step up and set the tone in a game that even Steve Kerr said there was a lot of emotions baked into it and needs to start with the guy at the epicenter of all of it. What is one? Jimmy Butler III. Anthony Slater was asking Steve Kerr. Anthony Slater joining us at 8:30. He was asking Steve Kerr after the game about the team's offensive issues.
What problems do you feel like need to be solved offensively right now?
We're having to sort of make some decisions based on spacing, you know, without Steph. And so, the decision I made tonight was to start Gary in order to guard Hero. And I thought he did a really good job on him early. And so I like the game was the way the game went in the first quarter for the most part. We just couldn't make anything. So I'll look at the tape. But I liked a lot of the looks we got early in the game. Some nights they don't go in. I'm very confident, you know, with what we're doing because over the last whatever 20 games since we've had Jimmy, we're a top five offensive team. So tonight wasn't our night, but I'm very confident that we'll be fine Friday.
Real quick on that, not to really poo-poo what Steve Kerr just said there, but is there a part of you that looks at this Jimmy Butler run? And it's been great. When Jimmy Butler plays, what are they, 16-4 overall, I think?
Been amazing.
It's been great. Is there a little bit of that, like, best defensive rating and top five offensive rating that you're looking at? It's like, a little fugazi.
Well, the sample size isn't large enough.
That's what I'm saying in all this. Like, I get what he's saying there.
Yeah.
Because he can only go off, like, the Jimmy Butler era.
Games,
right.
All right, now we're cooking. That's half a season.
Right. But given some of the teams they played, let's be honest, they have kind of had, like, not going to say an easy schedule, but they haven't played exactly world beaters every week. They've had some really good wins against some playoff opponents. Mm. Like, I look at that Pistons game. That was very impressive. I look at that the Milwaukee Bucks when they had on the back end of a back-to-back without Steph. That was an impressive win as far as I'm concerned, coming off the loss that they had. They've had some impressive wins, but the totality of it all, yeah, I'm not buying that this is a top five offensive and top five defensive team. They're just not.
And
the Celtics are a top five, top in both categories team.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Well, and look I get Steve Kerr's point. He's like, hey, I brought out GP2 to play against Tyler Hero. Yeah, but how about Draymond guarding Bam? Bam had 13 points in the first quarter.
Yeah.
Like, well, what about that? How about Alec Burks with 5 points in the first quarter and Andrew Wiggins with 6?
Warriors starters had 10 points combined at the half. I can't keep saying that enough. 10 points combined from the Warriors starters at the half. It's insane.
I know we want to look at individual matchups, right? But, like, team defense is extremely important. And I thought everyone on the floor played crummy defense to start that game. But it's not necessarily on the defensive end. To me, I think their bigger problem, if I were to just nail it down, Joe, is it offense or defense? And I would tell Steve, my guy, I love you. You have no Steph Curry. This team has no offense. If you have offensive slanted players who don't play a lot of defense, you just got to kind of lean into it. And you just got to be, we got to try to score 125 tonight. Like, that's what you got to do, especially against a team in Miami came into this game as one of the poorest shooting teams in the league, right? And so I would have said, all right, look, I can't be good at both. Let's pick a side. Let's go with offense. And I thought he went with the defense and I didn't like it because they treated Butler, GP2, and Draymond as non-shooters. And then they basically said, Pods, you take whatever you want. And Moody couldn't get his own shot off yesterday.
I mean, I'm looking at this team without Stephen Curry. And again, according to all reports, it's the likelihood is that Steph is returning in New Orleans on Friday. Thank God this team needs him in a big, big way. Without Steph on the floor, though, like, Jimmy Butler, to me, has to be that guy to get all those field goal shots up. Like, I can't have less than 15 field goal attempts from Jimmy in a game like that yesterday. I want to ask the audience at 888-957-9570, who is that guy for you that needs to step up the most here in these next 10 games? Like, no, like, you can pick your, it's a great question because it could be anyone. You could say, it could be Jonathan Kuminga to me. It could be Buddy Hield. It could be Draymond Green. No.
You know the
could,
answer.
Well, which one is it for you, Joe Shasky?
You know the answer. Have you seen The Mandalorian when they're all stuck in there and it's the end of The Mandalorian, so final episode of whatever season it was, and they got Grogu and all of these robots, I don't know what they're called, these super droid things are like knocking down the door and they're about to come and all of a sudden...
That was the first season, yeah, and that's Luke Skywalker.
Oh my
cam,
God,
yeah.
Here comes an X-Wing.
Yeah.
And then who's that guy wearing a hood? Oh my God, he's got a green lightsaber. Steph Curry! It's Luke Skywalker! Like, they need the Force! Well, like, he changes the equation of everything.
I know that, but there's going to be points when Steph is even here, and he's not going to be having
Chewbacca's not beating Darth Vader. Luke Skywalker is, right? And so, you need your Luke Skywalker.
No, but you're going to have a Han Solo, for using this analogy, that shoots Darth Vader, causes him to twirl around, giving Luke an opportunity to destroy the Death Star.
Sure.
Who's going to be that Han Solo for this team, Joe Shasky? Because I thought it was going to be Jimmy Butler.
He hasn't
stepped up enough for me.
No. Situationally, I still think Jimmy can be that guy. But I
thought he was going to be that guy yesterday, and he wasn't. Everything was on a platter for him to take over yesterday's game, and he came up small, and it was really disappointing when I heard Steph Curry, the Steve Kerrs, everyone calling him an alpha amongst alpha, and yesterday he came up beta.
He's a situational alpha. I don't know if he could be a carry you.
He's
35.
I mean, he did it twice with the Heat. They got to there, right?
But also, like, I think... Draymond Green, too, when Steph's out, I need Draymond to be a more locked in on both ends Draymond. I thought he didn't bring it at all in both the Atlanta game and this game. And again, you're supposed to be a great defender. Bam Adebayo destroyed you yesterday. And I love Dre. He's had a great month and a month and a half. But the consistent theme, even when they were winning, Cat killed them. OG Anunoby killed them. Okongwu killed them. All these athletic bigs, Bam Adebayo, who don't even have deep bags. Now, Cat's got a deep bag offensively.
He does.
All these other guys are just Aaron Gordon. I don't think of him as deep bag guy. No. I think of him as rugged offensive class guy, getting to his spots in the lane. We have no answer for that.
Draymond Green, Joe Shasky, talked after the game about the mindset for this team going forward.
We got to make sure that we are approaching every game like we're playing against the best team in the game, because that's what teams turn into when they play us. You know, they play out of their minds. This team is 17 for 25 for three or something like that. It's crazy. 18 for 25? It's crazy. But in saying that, it's the NBA. Everybody got talent. So, you know, whether they're not a team with a winning record or not, everybody's got talent and can beat you on any act. We got to make sure we figure these games out.
He caught himself there because he didn't want to call him a bad team because he was saying a bad
people
team just beat
us. What a cop out.
Well, no, that's exactly what I'm saying. Like
of all the games on the schedule, people get up for us. Yeah, because your teammate has been talking smack to the organization for 3 months so he can get out of town. If you didn't see that coming,
right?
Are you living under a rock?
I hate that whenever we say everyone gets up to play the Golden State Warriors, everyone gets up to play against the Celtics, Lakers, everyone gets to play up against everyone. Again, he even answered his own questions.
You
the
lost
NBA
to the Nuggets without Jokic and Murray. If that's not an indication that you could lose to anyone at any given time, you're not paying attention.
Like, are the Denver Nuggets not getting up against the Chicago Bulls are not getting up against, because it was the Warriors. I was like, no, the Nuggets have won a title. They know what it takes to get there.
It's not an excuse in the Jimmy Butler Miami return game.
Well, no, I'm not hearing that excuse.
Given where you are in the season.
That was a Heat culture win. We could poo-poo it. You can listen to Jimmy Butler. He thinks it's something. That was a Heat culture win yesterday.
It felt like Jimmy didn't want to be in the building.
That's exactly what it felt like.
Way too passive for me.
Craig. Oh, real quick.
If you can't get up for that game, how the hell am I supposed to trust you to get up for the Pelicans game?
Thank you. The Pelicans.
That's why it's such
Spurs.
A demoralizing loss.
Right, exactly.
Demoralizing.
Craig, Houston, what you got, Craig, on last night's game?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. You know, I think there's a little bit of misconception about what we've been over these past 20 games since Jimmy got here. And I don't think people realize we have beaten a bunch of really bad teams. And that first stretch of like 12 wins on the road, whatever it was, we beat a bunch of really bad teams. And we wasn't playing great ball. They just were playing horrible. And the good teams that we did face, the one or two, they were out their stars. some were two stars. So it's not like we've been beating the best teams in the league anyway. So we, so I mean, that point I wanted to make.
I think that's a fair point.
However, one of the main, I guess I would say the most important part about basketball game, the game of basketball, is scoring. That's first.
Mm-hmm.
We lost a championship in 17 because for 2 minutes, 3 minutes, we could not score. And Cleveland couldn't either for the most part, but they, Kyrie finally hit a jumper, yeah, and they won. But we couldn't score. We have a score on this team that Steve Kerr does not like. I mean, I don't think at this point you can pretend anymore that he's had some type of affinity for Kuminga. He does not like Kuminga for some reason, some strange reason. But what he has done, and I get frustrated, I hear about Kuminga's inconsistency. He has not been inconsistent. He has had inconsistent playing time since the moment he got to Golden State. Even after he showed you and on the court that given the minutes running set for him, he can put up 20 points a game just about every single night and even more some nights. And he finally gotten to a point right before he got hurt that he was doing something that I felt was really transitional for him, which was taking on the stars and not getting defensive when he plays stars. Because if you think back to that Phoenix game right before he got hurt, he basically played KD straight up in that last 5 or 6 minutes of that game and had, I think, a block. He had a really important steal down the stretch, was making bucks. I think he might have had 30-some points. But that guy is legit. And I don't think there's three players, and I'm going to say this, and you might disagree. I don't think there's three players on this Warrior team that are better than J.K. as an all-around player.
I got to let that marinate.
As an all-around player, I don't even know if J.K.'s an all-around player, so like, I don't really know what that means. I appreciate the call, Craig. Like, that just shows the depth of this team, though. Like, if that's your point, Craig, like, yeah, like, is Quentin Post an all-around player? No. Is Moses Moody an all-around player? Yeah, at times he can show that, but I wouldn't say he's an all-around player. There's very few all-around players in the league. Jimmy Butler's not an all-around player. The guy can't shoot beyond the arc. Like, he just can't. Like, he's a good player. He's not all-around. Stephen Curry can't stop a nosebleed defensively sometimes. He's not an all-around player. So, like,
let me ask you this question.
Like, that's an unfair question, I feel.
Okay, fine. Let me ask you this question. If Spoelstra was coaching the Warriors last night,
he would have maximized all the bench.
No, but
he
what lineup do you think he starts?
Oh, boy. I think Quentin Post is in the starting lineup.
What about J.K.?
Probably. Again, like, I probably, because he has to go with the athleticism.
Is this going to sound controversial? This thing that was Steph out, Pods has to be your starting point guard. Draymond should be your starting point guard offensively.
I actually don't hate Jimmy Butler being the starting point guard.
Fine.
Like, I don't mind him.
You have to shoehorn Pajemski as the starting point guard just because you love him and Steph's out. I don't know if I agree with that. I really don't. And I think that I'm looking to try to galvanize and do some stuff differently at the start of games. Try something else. This Pods as a starter with Steph out, we've got some data on it. It's not great.
The fact of the matter is we have 10 games left, and this was talking about this Rubik's Cube puzzle, the Tetris, whatever analogy you want to use when it comes to one Steve Kerr. There's 10 games left now, and there are still a lot of question marks when it comes to the rotations of this team, and that is very concerning, and they need to pick it up here between now and the end of the season, which is what, April 13th against the Clippers? Yeah, you got a couple weeks here, Joe Shasky, to figure it out. Because I'm not trying to figure it out come playoff time. That is not the time I figure it out.
No, this is going to sound radical, but like, again,
radical, bro.
When I found out Steph wasn't there, I was thinking to myself, all right, this is what I would do. Not what the coaches do. This is what I would do. Jimmy, all right, you're guarding Wiggins. That's who I got. I got you on Wiggins tonight. You're starting on Wiggins. Dre, yeah, I'm going to start you on Bam. I would have started there, sure, but we're going to go Bam, all right? QP, you're going to guard where?
Yep.
All right? Now I got two other slots. Kuminga, I got you on Tyler Hero.
Okay.
He's a little bigger. He's going to shoot. I got you on Tyler Hero.
And I like that.
All right? And then I was going to start with Moses Moody.
Moses, yeah.
All right? And Moody, you're on Alec Burks.
Perfect.
That's what I would have started with. And then offensively, who is my point guard? Draymond or Jimmy?
888-957-9570.
That's what I would have done. I want to empower, like right now, Kuminga's kind of like all over the place, and I know he brings some things to the table. Defensively, he's bigger, he's longer. I think he gives me a more in the half court, and I want to see them match up with him alongside those other players.
I keep going back to this, and again, it's just the overarching theme of the game, and there's a lot of rotations. We can get into the nitty-gritty of it all, and we've been doing that. We're halfway home here. We got Anthony Slater coming up 8:30. I know we got the injury report coming up here. I see Josh, Dave, G-Man. I see all of you guys. Please hang tight. I promise we will get to all of your calls today. 888-957-9570. Everything that was baked into that game, Jimmy Butler had to have had that game circled for weeks. The Miami Heat had that game circled for weeks. Even before the game even started, Jimmy's already chirping to Taylor Rooks, telling her, quote, I have nothing to say to Pat Riley, and Pat better have nothing to say to me. Like, if that's the energy you're bringing yesterday, I need you to show up. I need to see that alpha mentality. I need to see that dog. And because you know what? With the younger team like they do out there, that stuff resonates to the rest of the team, and they feed off that energy. They were feeding off the energy of Jimmy Butler in a negative way yesterday, and that can't happen.
You're right.
It just can't happen in a game like that.
Throughout everything.
They felt tight and tense.
Every turnover, every missed shot felt like a boulder on the shoulder.
I'm not saying it was a playoff type of atmosphere, because that's not the atmosphere I'm hearing from any of the coaches or players, but you're going to get some anger and vitriol and a lot of boo birds coming out in a playoff series. And I felt like yesterday, for the first time when I've seen Jimmy Butler, because I think of him as a mentally tough player.
Yeah.
I thought yesterday got to him. Whatever it was, it got to him, and it permeated, and it was not a good look, and it did not give me confidence going forward if Steph has to miss some time. And thankfully, it doesn't look like he's going forward. But I was very disappointed and a little shook, honestly, kind of like Jimmy was yesterday watching that game.
But, okay, what has been the bugaboo for the Warriors, whether Steph's played or not? Offensive rebounding, meaning the other team's offensive rebounding, getting physical, having size on the floor, getting to the free throw line. Could you imagine if they actually ran a lineup out there with 6'7 Jimmy, 6'7 Dre, 7 foot Quentin Post, 6'7, 6'8 Kuminga, and 6'6 Moody?
It's a big lineup.
It would be a complete reversal from the four guard lineups that we've been so accustomed to that honestly have been getting cooked. Quite frankly, cooked on both ends.
Like, has that tempered your expectations that this team could go on a deep run with 10 games left in the regular season? Everything is at question at this point. 888-957-9570. It's Spadoni. It's Shasky. We're halfway home on a hump day on 95.7 The Game.